We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Today we are joined by Hornets sideline reporter for Bally's and multiple-time guest Ashley Shamedy. Ashley, thanks for joining today. How's it going?
Thank you for having me, Richie. I'm excited to be on the podcast. It's going good. It's going good. It's always so weird right when the season ends and, you know, you spend so much time with the team and the coaches and the staff and broadcast crew and it all of a sudden just kind of ends and then you're like, oh, well, because you just get in such a rhythm with the games and practices and sit around. So it's definitely always bittersweet and kind of an adjustment when it ends. But no, I'm doing well. I'm excited for a good off season and I'm looking forward to some other stuff this summer.
Yeah. I know one time I had you on, we played some country music trivia, which looking back on it now was just too difficult. And then we did a game with Eric Collins and his sound bites. Unfortunately, Ashley, I don't have anything fun plan for the end of this one, so hopefully you don't mind.
That's okay. I feel like my brain's a little bit fried just because 82 game season and then you're just kind of like, yeah, just a little bit mush up there. So no games, no trivia. That's okay with me. I'm okay with that.
Good. All right, now that the season over, like you were talking about, it's time to kind of like reflect back on the season. And I wanted to start with the injuries to Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball. What type of impact do these two guys have on a team when healthy? And how much of a drop-off did we see this season when you go to lineups that don't have LaMelo, that don't have Mark Williams?
I mean, I think it's no secret just how much of an impact both of them make. They both played in about 20 games this season, which is just such a bummer because going into training camp, it was like, okay, this is finally the year people are healthy. You know, the starting five that we had going into the year, obviously the trade deadline mixed things up a bit, but just to think of what we had versus how we just finished yesterday is wild to me. It does make me excited for next year, for the future because of those two guys. I mean, when you watch LaMelo play, you know just how good he is immediately. And even in his 22 games, I believe he played this season, he had a good stretch where he was playing for a little bit and, you know, putting up big numbers. And so just the way that he facilitates the offense and how other players play with him and how they feed off of him. And, you know, he really drives the team. And it was a bummer when he went out for sure. And then Mark dealing with the back injury, you know, he stopped playing when he did because it would have gotten a lot worse and he was trying to avoid surgery and so which that was a success and it was good that he was able to catch it early when he did. So for both of those guys, I think just coming back, I mean, Nick Richards did a wonderful job, fantastic in my opinion, of playing the starting center, and he was, you know, he came into training camp thinking he was going to be the backup center. And so to have Mark Williams back to really man the middle and do what we saw him do for just the short amount of time that he was here is going to be really fun for next year. So both of those guys just super impactful. And I know it's no, like I said, no secret when LaMelo's on the floor, what he does for a team. So I just fingers and everything crossed that everybody stays healthy next year because it was 2 years in a row to kind of have the injury situation like we have, it's disappointing for sure.
Yeah, it's been a common theme, but the team is just flat out better when Mark Williams is on the court on both ends. The back injury is a little bit concerning, but he provides such an impact as a role man, as a guy that's going to snag offensive boards. Defensively, he's going to alter shots at the rim. You've got LaMelo, who's just constantly putting the defense in a bind because he can shoot from deep. He has the ability to get downhill. He has the ability to kick it out to teammates. But those ankle injuries have been an issue for him. And, you know, you just kind of hope he puts it all together and can play 70 plus games on a consistent level. That's what you're hoping out of him. And you start to feel bad for Clifford because this isn't what he signed up for. And he's had health scares before. And you've even, you know, you kind of saw that taking a toll on him as the season went along. How much blame do you think we can place on Clifford for failing to put together like a winning season in these last 2 years? And secondly, like, how do you think he's going to fare moving forward into some sort of front office role?
I don't really think you can put a lot of blame on him, to be totally honest, or any at all, just because, I mean, look at how drastic the injuries are or were. To have guys like LaMelo and Mark Williams out for 60 plus games. And then, you know, at the end, Cody Martin and Seth Curry, both of them going out, completely affected the defense. And to me, for Coach Clifford to have the guys that he had and to still be able to play well, I know it did not always translate to wins, but, you know, just watching him being at every single game, they were playing well. And it was wild to me just how he was able to kind of string together lineups and rotations and with guys who were never used to playing with each other, and to put together some wins, but just some positive situations where, you know, for instance, Brandon Miller thrived in his role and Miles Bridges playing how he played. And I don't think Coach Clifford really deserved any blame for not having a winning record just because he was dealt kind of a poor hand just with the injuries. And, you know, I think your next question going along with that is just for next year. Is that what you're kind of asking about?
How do you think he's going to transition into that new role?
Oh my gosh. I think he is. He kept telling me, you know, I don't want to reflect and think about it yet until the season's done. Even like yesterday, game 82 at the end, he was kind of like, I'm excited for this next role. He just has such a wealth of knowledge. He has coached for just such high caliber coaches. And then he has been a head coach, obviously, himself for so long as well. And he's coached more Hornets games than anybody else. So for him to be a part of this organization and to bring his wealth of knowledge from the coaching world and for the people that he's coached alongside, and he just has so much knowledge that I think he's going to absolutely thrive in that role. I think it'll be, he says he's, you know, excited to learn more about the salary cap and the draft and kind of things that happened this summer behind the scenes that he probably had no role in, just being not in a front office position. So he's such a smart guy and, you know, such a great coach that I think, and the guys really respect him too. I mean, from top to bottom, everybody was, you know, they're excited about the future, but they all love Coach Cliff. So I think for him to just still be able to be around and for whoever is the next head coach that comes in, that person can absolutely, you know, feed off of Coach Clifford, and to have him around in that situation, I think will be really beneficial.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Yeah. And like you said, he's been around a lot of teams, a lot of players, and he spoke very highly of Brandon Miller this season. And a lot to like about Miller's rookie season. And to be honest, sometimes among the national media, he didn't get enough credit. I think, obviously, Wembanyama was like in a tier of his own with how skilled he is. You got Chet and OKC, who played a big role on a first-place team. He impacted winning in that way. So maybe Miller doesn't make the top two, but he's definitely a clear-cut number three in the league. We've seen some pundits, like in the NBA, just talking about how Miller might be like fourth or fifth or sixth on the NBA rookie board. For someone who saw him every game and heard others speak about him, including Clifford, make the case to these people that don't believe that Miller is a top three rookie.
It is really, I've seen those boards, and it is really disappointing because, yeah, you know, three-time Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, he was in the Rising Stars Challenge, he played, you know, he started the season coming off the bench for a couple games, and then by the end of this season, he was literally our top offensive threat. He was on top of the scouting report for every team that we faced. He was double-teamed every single night and still was able to score like he did. I know I'm like a little bit biased, but I just don't see why he wouldn't be second behind Wembanyama. I mean, I understand Chet and, you know, even Jaime Jaquez from Miami people were talking about. But to me, I just, to be on a team where you don't have a ton of superstars, A, and I know OKC has a lot of young guys and I give them so much credit. I mean, Mark Daigneault is now the coach of the year.
Yeah.
And he deserves that absolutely, to take his team to that level. But just to not, you know, have a surrounding cast of characters, if you will, that are multiple superstars or all healthy or whatever it may be. And for Brandon to be able to do what he did night in and night out. And like you said, Richie, I, you know, around him every single day, every other day, and his work ethic is unmatched. His love of the game unmatched. And, you know, some people might say, well, everybody loves the game, but I just, his competitive spirit, I mean, for him to be so visibly upset after any game, any loss, just even considering where we were and, you know, we're not making the playoffs, but for him to be so upset about a loss, I hope he never loses that. I hope it just stays with him for his entire career, because it was just really refreshing to know how much he cares about winning, about the team, about the organization. And Charlotte, definitely, they drafted a good one with Brandon Miller, and I'm excited for his future, and I 100% think he should be second behind Wemby. So I know my opinion doesn't matter in that regard, but I feel like if you even spent a week around him with practice and shoot around in games, you would feel the same way.
Yeah, I do like that competitive edge about him in terms of like wanting to win, and he's affected by losing a lot. And you saw that tons in the rookie season here in Charlotte. And it's funny, coming out of Alabama, like there was plenty of talk about his three-point shot, which was still very much a real asset for him. But I thought his ability to score in the mid-range when teams ran him off the line, just, you know, the way that teams defended him, threw a couple players at him. And just based on this season alone, you could probably make the case that he was a top 15, top 20 player in the mid-range out of all players. And he's still got room to grow in that aspect. I think for him, the biggest thing moving forward is to hit the weight room in the offseason. I think that's going to be huge for him, and it's going to allow him to do more things on the basketball court that he just wasn't able to do so much his rookie season, and, you know, finishing through contact and all that type of stuff. And maybe this doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but can Miller, in your opinion, be a number one option on Charlotte, or does that title still belong to LaMelo, or does it really matter?
You know, people have asked me that before, and it's hard to say just because they didn't play very much together, unfortunately. And so I feel like it's going to be hard for us to speculate on that. I mean, you'd like to just from what he was able to do without LaMelo, I absolutely think he could be a number one option. But bringing LaMelo back into it, I know the two will play really well together and play off of each other. And so I'm honestly curious how that's going to go and who's going to kind of take the reins more. I mean, you would think obviously LaMelo is the one, Brandon is the two, and they just sort of feed off of each other. But I really don't know. I think so. And, you know, if Miles comes back too, having that trio, I think could be really deadly, honestly. And really, it's a really good offensive trio, I'll put it that way. And right. So I don't know if like I said, from what he did this year, you could say, yeah, he could absolutely be the number one option. But with LaMelo coming back, we need to see more games with them together. I think, you know, how wild is this? I think the starting lineup that came into training camp played a total of like 14 minutes together. So, and I know they obviously traded Terry and PJ and Gordon, but just even Brandon and LaMelo, I'm sure just have played only a couple minutes actually together with the original starting five. So I am so curious to see, you know, how that goes with them together and being able to play consistently with each other.
I think in the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter. 1A, 1B type of options, probably the best way to.
And they're both kind of unsolved. I know LaMelo loves to be creative and he's an offensive minded player, but you know, I think him and Brandon unselfish when they play together for sure.
Right. Looking at some of the new guys that came aboard on the trade deadline, Trey Mann, Micic, Davis Bertans, Grant Williams, Seth Curry, you know, what did you see out of them and how important were these midseason trades to kind of get like an early look at these guys before you get to the offseason and see what you have with them playing with the other guys?
I think the trade was a win-win for our players. That it's obviously always sad when you lose players, but a win-win for everyone. Terry in Miami, PJ thriving in Dallas, Gordon in OKC, and then the guys that we got, I think absolutely was a win-win. They, you know, are really skilled, talented players who weren't getting an opportunity in OKC, and then Grant Williams as well in Dallas and Seth. But I love the Grant and Seth being from Charlotte. I think just from a broadcast perspective storyline, it was incredible. And then bringing over players who, like I said, weren't getting minutes, weren't getting an opportunity in OKC, and seeing them, like Trey Mann, for instance, I feel like these last couple weeks of the season, we've really been able to see what he's capable of. And he is a really good finisher and he can score through contact. And for someone his size, I feel like that is super beneficial to have. Davis Bertans, he's called the lot being laser for a reason, knows what his role is. And he really surprised me just getting to know him and talking to him. He, like I said, knows his role. He knows what he is good at and he sticks with that. And that's the type of player that he's kind of molded into, but he can shoot the lights out. And then Seth being a defender, I think is huge. And just bringing in veteran guys like Grant Williams, who we needed someone to talk. And, you know, there's no secret that that's something Grant does quite a bit, in a great way, though, a positive way. But we needed veteran guys. We needed guys who were on teams that knew what winning looked like. I mean, multiple times on bus rides at shoot-around practice, Grant Williams telling the young guys, like, for instance, there was one conversation where he's telling them, hey, you need to go introduce yourself to every ref before the game. You need to talk to them. You need to build relationships with them. This is so important for your career. Here in the NBA, he had that one-on-one conversation with Brandon, and I just happened to overhear it, and I was like, this is amazing. We needed people to come and have those discussions and be veteran guys. So I think in terms of, it was great to be able to evaluate, like you said, and to have them come, and I'll be very curious to see who, you know, all stays and what happens with those guys from the trade deadline. But from a broadcast perspective, it was wonderful to have just kind of a new, fresh group of guys come in and they were able to have things be kind of positive to end the season. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And you talk about the local story with Seth and Grant, and you've had some great stories or connections over the years. I really enjoyed the barbecue series pig trophy that you dug up.
Yeah.
How does that story compare to some of your others? Or do you have a favorite story that you've ever kind of dug up over your handful of years in Charlotte?
Oh, wow. Over the handful of years, I need to think back on that. There are definitely some really fun stories that I've been able to tell. And, but just from this year, since fresh on the mind, Grant Williams and Seth, all just a local story, local angles were really fun when they were able to come here. And I feel like the hometown crowd probably enjoyed those the most. And then Davies Bertans, this was one of, and this was just like not even planned. It was when he started wearing the mask, wanted to ask him about the adjustment and all that. And he just randomly started opening up about how, where he's from and coaches in Europe. He was like, this is nothing. They used to make me shoot with gardening gloves on. They used to make me cover one eye and then the other eye and shoot that way. They used to make me go through these drills that were unbelievable. He said, this is really, really child's play for me. And I was like, wait, you used to shoot with gardening gloves? Like, and he would have to make an absurd amount. And he said he'd be there for 2-3 hours after practice with these European coaches. And so it makes sense why he's such a great shooter, because he went through these drills that I don't think, at least I haven't heard people in America going through. So I think that was one of my favorites to just find out. And I love, of course, Eric's reaction when I tell those stories. And I always feel like it's a good story when Eric and Dell bring it up multiple games later, and they brought up that story for games to come. So after I told it, so that's always a success in my book when they bring it up again.
Yeah, when I grew up, I didn't have to use gardening gloves to play basketball. So,
yeah, me either.
Yeah, Bertans was funny because I watched him pregame one time, and all he shot were threes. It's just like, it's the other guys will work from the free throw line, inside the arc, outside the arc, but he's just practicing from three. He knows what he's good at, and he kind of sticks to it. So
that was so wild to me that he did not do anything else for warm up. It's like insane to me. So I'm with you. He knows his role for sure.
Yeah. They had the end of season exit interviews today. Were you there?
I was not there, but I did see some of the clips from Rod Boone and from other people. Gotcha. As well. But some of the transcripts too, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask if there's anything, any kind of memorable quote that stood out for you, but I guess with you not being there, we'll let you sift over those.
I do have one that I heard.
Go ahead.
I'm very excited about. Miles mentioned that LaMelo wants to play a 75-game season, and Mark Williams has actually repeatedly told me, like, towards the end of the season that he wants to be an Iron Man next year, and he wants to do all 82. So just to hear them have that kind of mindset gets me very excited, and I hope Hornets fans are excited as well, because, you know, injuries happen, and I get that, but to go into the year, hopefully with the I want to play 82 games, especially Mark, he's really... This was really tough for him to have to sit out. And I know, you know, it was really tough, especially towards the end. I know he wanted to be out there and playing. So for both of them to kind of have that mindset is exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it at the top of the podcast that they just need to be healthy for this team to be successful. And if they have another season like this year, it's not going to be good news for the Hornets, because they rely on them so, so much. Now that the season is over, I need to clear something up with you. Eric Collins got very sentimental on the broadcast in the final home game of this season. And I actually want to roll the clip real quick for the listeners that might not have heard it.
I don't like to have things unsaid. Ashley Shombany is the best you'll ever work with. She is off the charts as a human being, as a sideline reporter, as a professional, as a broadcaster, communicator. And every single hour that we have a chance to be with her is an hour that we are privileged to have. So, Ashley, thank you for being you. And I can't think of a possible better person to spend the last 6 years with.
Can you let the people know, as of today, April 2024, that you intend to be where next season as it relates to the Hornets?
Richie, you even have the clip. I'm impressed.
Yes, that was the one prep that I needed to do. Get that queued up.
That was so wild, because I don't really check Twitter too much after the games or anything. And then I got a couple texts asking where I was going, what my new job was, what was happening. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then someone sent me the clip, and they were like, this clip I think is going, I don't think it went viral, but they said that there were quite a few views on it. And I was like, oh no. And basically, I mean, for the last couple of years, like even yesterday at the game, we always just kind of say our piece about how much we enjoy working with each other, because we really do. In my opinion, it's the best crew from top to bottom, from the guys behind the scenes to obviously the people on air too. I just think it's the best crew, and I feel so, so grateful to be able to work with them year in and year out, and for my first NBA job to have those two. as the analyst and play-by-play, I will just forever be grateful. So Eric normally kind of gets a little sentimental towards the end of each season, and I feel like he said things before, so I'm not sure why that one took off like that. But yesterday, to close out the season and, you know, going on the final post-game show, he even said it. He's like, TV business is wild. You never truly know what could happen. Of course, we all have every intent of being back, and I love Charlotte. I love the Hornets, the organization. I like I said, love the crew. So you just never know with the TV business is, I think, kind of what he was trying to explain. But and that was just Eric being sentimental, and he doesn't like to leave things unsaid to finish off the year. So it was rather funny that it kind of popped off like it did, yeah. But no one needs to read too much into it.
So you intend to be back?
Yes. Okay. I like I said, the TV business is wild. I know people know what's happening with Valley Sports. So
yeah,
I love the Hornets, and there's no other, I can say this without a doubt, there is no other team I would want to work for.
Good. Good. Now you probably understand why people took it that way though, right?
I do. I totally do. And especially being like the last home game, and, you know, Eric said some really sweet things, and it probably did sound a little bit like a
goodbye.
So I do understand. And I so appreciate everyone being so kind all the time. And, you know, we love what we do. And I know I can speak for Del and Eric. We love to bring people joy when it comes to watching the games. I know the last two seasons have been tough. And so to find sort of joy in any little thing we can when it comes to the broadcast, it truly is what we love to do.
All right, before we get out of here, let's talk some Braves. Even though you are a Bulldogs fan and I'm a Gators fan, we can at least share a love of the Braves.
Yes.
I think coming into the season, I really thought that the Braves were going to be, like, this was going to be their season again. They were going to win the World Series, but there's been the recent news of Spencer Strider missing the rest of the season with his right elbow. You know, they brought in a couple guys to the rotation with Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez. He's been a pleasant surprise. But how big of a loss do you think Strider is for the Braves' chances of winning the World Series this year?
Oh, man. I'm, like, still not over it, to be totally honest. I feel so bad for Spencer Strider. My good friend is worked with him all summer long. He added the curveball to his arsenal. I mean, it is just devastating. Injuries in general, devastating, but to just start the season like this and then that be, oh man, the news, I literally am still not over it. And he is obviously such an elite pitcher that, you know, this isn't to say, oh, okay, their chances of a World Series are done, because if you've watched any Braves game, you know just how many hitters they have on the team. And just, I know the bullpen and pitching has kind of always been a question before, and I understand that, but, you know, I don't think it's like a total lost cause, if you will, and people should panic about it, but it is a huge blow for sure. Spencer Strider is incredible. So I guess we'll see what happens. They have so many elite players on that team, but man, I'm still not over that one. Yeah. That really, really hurts.
And the good news is the World Series that they won a couple years ago, they won it without Acuna. So maybe they can kind of use this as kind of like a way to say, hey, we can do it without one of our best pitchers this time.
Yep, exactly. And they'll find a way. So hopefully they do, because I'm excited to do Braves games this summer, and it's going to be fun just being around the team and kind of challenging myself in a different role this year.
Yeah, because you're going to be on the Bally's Braves broadcast, correct?
Yes. And I usually would kind of fill in and host for the last couple years, just 10 or 15 games, nothing crazy. But this year I'm doing just reporting. I'm going to be traveling, doing some of the away series, which I've never done before. So some new stuff just with that. But I will be, yes, on the Valley broadcast.
Will you be on the desk, like right there in the battery? Do you know?
That's what I've been doing the last couple of years.
Gotcha.
Actually, this year, I'm just reporting, so I'll be in the dugout in the photo well.
Gotcha. Well, very good. It's always good to have you on. I appreciate your time, and be on the lookout for another invitation for a future episode of Buzz Beat.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Rich. You always appreciate it.
Of course. For Ashley, I'm Richie. We'll talk to you guys soon. Take care, and go Hornets.